Well, hello everyone. It's George from Ireland. The news, which many had anticipated, but people didn't know exactly when it's going to come. I thought it was going to happen a couple of months ago. Chasiv Yar has fallen to the Russian army. Now, the Ukrainian government hasn't made an official announcement, but several European government sources, the allies of Ukraine, have said, yeah, it's happened. But they're waiting for Kyiv to actually say it. So it's bad news from a Ukrainian point of view. It's not unexpected, which is why there's not a big hoo-ha about it. Ukraine has been able to withdraw in good order. And Russia's paid a very, very high price for this. Even Russia's not crowing that much about it, as you think they might have been, considering they lost so many tens of thousands of troops taking this city. I mean, they've been attacking there for a year. And we always hear about these Russian advances, but they're now in the tens of meters a day. Like if you go back to November, there were sometimes hundreds of meters a day. And I was thinking about this, if they'd advanced even like just 10 meters a day for the last 200 days, that would have been 20 kilometers. They too should have taken Chasiv Yar and Pokrovsk by then. Some days they've even been driven back. Some days they've not advanced at all, and so on. So one of the reasons that they're not shouting this on the rooftop of the Ruskies is it's not leading to a breakthrough. Yeah, they've gone forward a bit, but to go forward like several kilometers away one day, they just don't have the wherewithal. They don't have the assets. So many tanks destroyed, infantry fighting vehicles and armored personnel carriers, so many howitzers and so on, so many missiles and rockets used up. A lot of the best troops killed and rate troops rush through basic training. They're often using equipment from two generations ago. Things don't really work. Their logistics are not as terrible as they used to be, but they're not going to be able to turn a Ukrainian retreat into Ukrainian rout. You know, that doesn't look like. So that's bad news for Ukraine on the Eastern Front. So that's kind of endangering the risk of the Donetsk city, partly because it's high ground, and that matters a little bit even now. Obviously, nothing much as like as it used to, because considering missiles can go thousands of kilometers, but those are very, very expensive. So, but you know, artillery, if you're even on a bit of an eminence, that's going to make your projectiles go that little bit further. So the Ukrainians, they were well dug in there, but it became ever more difficult, partly because low troop levels. We mustn't say manpower, that's sexist, even though the Ukrainian armed force is about 95% male. Mustn't disrespect the female minority, and there's just not enough Western military aid. So the Russians were able to move ever closer. Then it became a real headache for the Ukrainians to be able to supply enough munitions to manage their troop rotations. They were really taking their lives in their hands when they're driving their trucks up and down the approach roads and so forth. So that's it. I mean, the Russians, they even got into some suburbs of the city way back in October. There was a canal network, which was both a blessing and a curse for the Ukrainians, and so on. So they pulled out. There was a city of over 12,000 people, but apparently only 300 people are there to this day. So, a little bit worrying for them, you know. And they were very, very close in May. They were under 2 kilometers from the city in May, somewhat driven back and so on. Some of the International Legion for the Territorial Defense of Ukraine was there as well. So there was a lot of mining around there. That's obviously a bit of a blow to the Ukrainian economy, but for over a year, they couldn't do that. It was just too dangerous. There are very few civilians. It was very difficult to move things into and out of Chasiv Yar. So they use some parachute regiments, some Storm Z units, the Russians, in the so-called meat attacks, where they just threw away their lives, catching a bullet from the Ukrainians. Often is a diversionary move, it's a decoy before the real attack, or to identify the Ukrainian positions and so forth. But the Russians have taken such losses, even they're going to have to husband their forces a little bit. The Ukrainians long ago took the view that because they don't have that many people, they're going to have to preserve their troops. That is a higher priority than preserving ground. Russians, it was taking ground, not keeping the casualties down, that matter per se. Numbers are advantage, we're going to use it, and have a very callous attitude towards the lives of their men and women. Anyway, The Ukrainians way back in June were claiming that they'd inflicted over 5,000 casualties on the Russians, which is probably like an exaggeration by a factor of two. It may well be over 5,000 dead now, as well as the wounded. Very few captured because the Russians were going forward. But then it means that Pokrovsk is more in danger and the whole Donetsk region. So, I mean, I thought Pokrovsk was going to fall before way back in November. And here we are almost the end of January. So I reckon it'll be March. The 1st of March, the 31st of March is quite a big, it's quite a big difference, but it'd be a fool's errand to make a precise prediction. But it underscores that Ukraine's situation is serious. It's not easy for the Russians either. And Putin is broadening those who can be drafted. People who are previously in reserved occupations. Now that's going to go down badly. These are often highly educated professionals. So the haute bourgeoisie was not too badly impacted by the war, is now going to be badly impacted by the war. They're tempted to scramble out of the country. And now there'll be no sign that Russians are actually going to prevent that. They might bring something in. Maybe they prepared for it very secretly to close the borders to military age males or require to get permission before you leave the country, something like that. What Putin doesn't want is a scenario like September 2022, when hundreds of thousands of young men left the country, sometimes their wives and children going with them. About half of those have returned since, but more of them try and get out. I suspect that the Putin regime would be rather better prepared this time. But it shows that they're somewhat scraping the bottom of the barrel for manpower. And despite offering massive bounties, tens of thousands of dollars for signing a military contract, they cannot get enough recruits. They are still getting some recruits. Partly unemployment is very low. Those who are most minded to join have joined. You know, they've emptied the prisons of those who are usable largely. People who commit crime are usually young men. So many young men, low income, low education, more likely to dabble in criminality, already in the military, many of them being killed. People have emigrated. So who can they tempt or conscript? Okay, they've taken as many as they really can in all these poverty-stricken, remote ethnic minority homelands like the Buryats, the Bashkirs, the Chukchis, or whatever, the Yakuts, and so on, and the Chechens. So he really doesn't want to have to get the Moscow upper middle class, but he's going to have to do a little bit, and that's the kind of thing which would really make him slow down. Obviously, recruiting some people from other countries, and I think an obvious solution to him is to intensify that, recruiting from Pakistan, the Central African Republic, Mali, Zambia, Cuba, just anywhere where people are going to be tempted by the mighty dollar, and then just throw them into the maelstrom. But that's why, I mean, I don't doubt that Russia can sustain this war throughout the whole of 2025 at a lower tempo for various reasons, for lack of troops, lack of weaponry, and the economy increasingly difficult. 2026, that's when it really comes to the crunch time. Obviously, they can fight a bit into 2026. All the way through 2026, I start to be doubtful. But I think the fall of Pokrovsk is a matter of time. The Ukrainians have won the moral victory in managed to hold it so long. But we shall see. But I hope I'm not wrong that maybe the Ukrainians will just collapse at some point, and you can't really tell when that's going to be. And that's why it's so vital that the Ukrainians get more weapons. Putin was banking on Trump pulling the plug on the Ukrainians, and that may yet be the case. It's obviously not been as rosy from Putin's point of view as he was hoping for. It might go the other way, but you know, Trump is such a wild card. Thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then in PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.